And now, stay tuned for Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, a fun, informative green talk radio show featuring guests from all over the country talking about how living green can be fun. Visit Mrs. Green's website at www.MrsGreenGoesMainstream.com for more information about her guests.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Tucson. Hello, world. Happy Saturday. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST. And I really mean it today. It's an all-green talk show, and we should be thanking our lucky stars or whoever we thank about being here and not in Flagstaff or Greer or the White Mountains, because I've been talking to people up there, and Bookman's in Flagstaff is no longer. The whole roof caved in. I heard that from Bob Oldfather yesterday. And my friends up in Greer in High Country, Sunrise is closed because of too much snow, which ski resort is closed because of too much snow. So we should be really happy that we get to look at the snow from afar. Do you not agree, Mr. Andy?
I agree, most indubitably.
Yes, we are so lucky. Our guest today is someone that really, really impressed me when I heard him speak at Saba. His name is Jeff Schlegel, and he's from the Southwest Energy Efficient Project. And I really loved what he had to say. I think it's an unbelievably interesting topic. And I'm sure most of you, like myself, had never heard of SWEEP. It promotes greater energy efficiency in a six-state region that includes Arizona, Colorado, Nevada, New Mexico, Utah, and Wyoming. And it's a very high-growth region that's made great strides in advancing energy efficiency over the past 8 years. So I'm like, okay, 8 years it's been around. I never heard of SWEEP, but we are going to find out about it. So lots of things to talk about today. Sponsors, you know that I love my insight from Chapman. Confession right here on live radio. The insight has what I call a little green report card. And after you turn off the ignition, it tells you how many leafs you earned based on your driving. And it's hard to explain on radio, but basically I'm getting like a D minus in fuel efficient driving. Thank God it's a fuel efficient car, because I have this lead foot thing. And I went over to Chapman the other day, and the guys at Honda were cracking up and coaching me about, you have to take your foot off the gas as soon as you see the light change, and you have to accelerate slowly. So I'm hoping for Mrs. Green to at least move up to a C plus in a week for energy efficiency. So stay tuned, guys, and don't give up on me. And the Fairfax companies, Jason and Amanda Tankersley, are going to be on the show in a couple of weeks. You'll be really excited to know what they're up to. It's all good for Tucson. It's all good for our community and good for the earth. And I really want them in my backyard, and I love that they're sponsors of Mrs. Green. Please don't forget that next Saturday, thank goodness it's next Saturday, because I'm sure it'll be sunny and bright and warm, we are having a live remote. Mrs. Green is going on the road at Silver Bell by Doucette. You can get, thanks for that, it always cracks me up when you do that, directions on my website, email me, whatever. And it's turned into a mini green fair with the Mrs. Green community. And we will have here's one of the incentives, for example. Bob Dame, who and his wife Charmaine are going to be out there, and they own the Energy Resource Group, and they're offering a free energy audit for your home or business, and that's worth about $500. And so there are going to be wonderful prizes like that that are really worth coming out for, and the winner will be announced on the show next week, but you have to be there and come out and register and see this unbelievable community. So come have some fun and see, you know, our friend John from the Green Plumbers, Colleen Crown and Shield. Another thing don't forget is that Terry D is going to have the truck from the Habba store there. So it's an opportunity to donate. So it's all about community, and come out and see Mrs. Green, see Silver Bell by Doucette, and it's great. Okay, we have a caller. I have so much news. I want to go to the caller. But first I want to say, everybody, please remember Haiti. I'm going to not forget. I'm not going to bring it up one time on the radio. I'll be talking about it for months to come, because they'll need us for months to come. And there's things you can do right here in Tucson without spending a dollar, like volunteer at WorldCare, if you want to just give of your time and can't give of your money in these challenging times. So that being said, I'm taking a deep breath, and I'm going to say hello to Denise from TEP. Denise, are you there?
Hello, Mrs. Green.
Hi, Denise. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
I am glad you called in. I just saw Kelly Hansen yesterday. So I was at the TEP offices. So what do you want to share with our listeners and with me today?
Well, I'm glad to hear my good friend Jeff Schlegel is going to be on the on your show in just a few minutes to talk about all energy efficiency items. I just want to give you guys, your listeners, a teaser for this year and all the new programs that you'll be seeing from TEP.
Great.
Both renewable and energy efficiency. It includes enhanced business rebates for our renewable programs,
okay,
and some more programs for existing homes and increased education and outreach efforts this year.
Okay, and I want to just add to that because I do know about your website, and people should really listen and tune in. In my opinion, and you can correct me if I'm wrong because heaven knows I've been wrong before, there's never been a better time to take action in terms of cash incentives, rebates, tax incentives. Is that a fair thing to say?
Of course. Our rebates have increased, and we've had, I just want to thank everybody out there that's participated in our programs. We've had an increase in some programs 3- and 4-fold over the previous year. So 2009 was a great year, and 2010, I hope to see even more participation from your listeners.
I really hope so, too, and just get on their website. How hard is this? It's TEP.com. And then, to me, a really great thing to click on then is Bright Solutions, because there's a lot of everyday things that you can do and energy-efficient tips. And I will tell you this. I put myself to the test. We lowered our energy bill significantly. We're on budget billing. And even with the hot summer we had, we still were able to lower our bill because of some things we did. And it's not rocket science. It's turn it up in the summer and down in the winter and put on a sweater.
That's right. And there's many, many energy-saving tips on our website right now.
And there's solar hot water. I mean, that if you can only do one thing, not everybody can install solar. But solar hot water heaters, there's rebates on that. You have programs if you want to convert to CFLs. And why wouldn't you? A compact fluorescent light bulb. You have partnerships with retailers in the city. So there's real stuff there in a time when everybody's looking at a way to save money and you save energy. So I think TEP is leading the charge in so many areas.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Green. I want to remind everybody to do conservation and energy efficiency first, then look at solar water heating, and then look at next would be to look at solar.
Right, right. And I think so. I'm harping on that a little bit in my newsletter and on my blog. The first R is reduce, and that's what you just said. Mm-hmm. The first R is really reduce. It's not recycle. And a lot of us think we're so noble, myself included, if I get a plastic bottle and recycle it, 95% of the energy is already consumed in the production of that bottle. So I'm on reducing, not reusing and recycling, you know, trying to reduce first, and that just supports what you said. So thanks for taking time out of your Saturday to call in.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
And, remind your listeners again to stay tuned throughout the year, and we'll come on your show and tell them when programs, new programs come up, we'll be there to talk to them about it.
And I really appreciate it. Mrs. Green loves to tell people how to save money and save both. It's a win-win. So thanks, Denise. Okay, Andy, how are we good? Do we have to go to break? Do we have another minute? Because I just have to hurry up and say just a couple more things.
I'll give you a minute.
You know me. Thanks, Andy. I got an email from a man named Bruce Woodruff, who I know, and he's from Pima County. I believe he's in, Pima County. And he answered something in my newsletter about he's involved with Builders Without Borders and would like to recommend this group to help with Haiti. Solar cookers for Haiti. This is the thing I loved about what he said in his email is that, okay, where everybody's helping now, people will go away, there'll be a new cause, but this will really help in the long term, a solar cooker, because they have plenty of solar there and it will clean, it'll pasteurize water because clean water is going to be huge. There's a Friends of Haiti organization called Sun Ovens International. And remember, guys, when you're out there listening, please always email me info@MrsGreenGoesMainstream if you have a question because you're driving and I don't want you to write anything down when you're driving. So you can send a donation. You can find out the little ways to help, and $5 makes a difference. So just thank you, Bruce, for taking the time to do that email. So now, okay, is that enough? I said, okay, thanks for that, Bruce. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream. Coming up, a very interesting, knowledgeable guest, Jeff Schlegel from the Southwest Energy Efficient Project, as soon as we come back. Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790. And someday we are going to have a webcam in here, and you would have seen all of us dancing to the music, including Jeff, our guest. Jeff was dancing. Andy, thanks for picking that great bumper music. It makes me want to dance. And I knew that I was saying it wrong. It's Southwest Energy Efficiency Project, because efficient didn't sound right. And Jeff was very nice about it. So before we go and make it all about Jeff, I do want to do a green tip. And it's a little bit redundant, but it's the new year. Take the time to check out all the great incentives, rebates, discounts being offered by programs and companies in your area, wherever you're listening, about saving water, about saving electricity, about saving money. And the city of Tucson and TEP are great examples here, but you'll find that wherever your city or town is, there are incentives, and there's never a better time. And remember, don't get lost in the idea that everybody's helping Haiti so you don't have to. It's a great opportunity for humankind to step up. So, Jeff, I think it'd be great if you started out. First of all, welcome and thank you very much for coming on a Saturday when there's always dad duties and driving and all that.
Well, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
I really appreciate it. Tell our listeners and me once again what SWEEP is.
Well, SWEEP is the Southwest Energy Efficiency Project, as you noted. And SWEEP is a public interest organization, basically a nonprofit that's dedicated to increasing energy efficiency in the Southwest. And we serve six Southwestern states, Arizona, of course, but also New Mexico, Nevada, Colorado, Utah, and we've also gotten Wyoming in our definition of Southwest as well.
I was writing that down. I thought, well, you know, Wyoming isn't exactly the Southwest.
It's not exactly, but we do cover Wyoming as well. I serve as SWEEP's representative in Arizona. So we work to advocate policies for energy efficiency and other assistance for customers who want to become energy efficient. Work primarily with before the Arizona Corporation Commission to work with utility programs to make buildings more energy efficient. Also work and advocate at the legislature for energy efficient policies and with the governor's office as well.
And I'm always interested in a little bit of the history. It's 8 years old, and like I said in the intro, I never heard of it. Whose brainchild is it, and how is it funded? It's not a government entity. There's no government funds. Am I right?
That's correct. It's not a government entity. It's a nonprofit public interest organization.
Right.
It was founded by Howard Geller, my boss, the executive director of SWEEP, and our main office is in Boulder, Colorado. Howard was the executive director of another nonprofit organization called ACEEE, American Council for an Energy Efficient Economy.
Okay.
And which was in Washington, D.C., and he worked there for many years, decided to move west, located in Boulder, unfortunately.
And be in the snow.
Right. We didn't get him in Arizona, but we got him at least in the west, and he created this organization, and I was his first partner in SWEEP, and we started in 2002, essentially, in Arizona, advocating both in terms of utility energy efficiency for utility customers, but also before the legislature.
And there's not always – this could be like one of your big 15 minutes of fame, and hopefully there'll be like bigger pastures here down the road. But you really do have an impressive background, and I don't like to embarrass my guests, but could you just tell people a little bit about – I did some digging, and it wasn't hard to Google you. Could you just tell a little bit to people about – what you brought to the table, because that's why you can do what you do.
Yes, I've been working in energy efficiency for more than 25 years now, primarily on the policy side. I am a national expert, particularly in utility energy efficiency programs and utility regulatory policies to increase energy efficiency. I've worked in all of the major states as a consultant that have done energy efficiency, whether it's big amounts of energy efficiency, California, Massachusetts, Connecticut, the upper Midwest, Wisconsin, been in Arizona since 1993, so I've been here for quite a while. but I do travel around the country and promote energy efficiency in a number of these states. I worked for a decade, for example, for the California Public Utilities Commission as a consultant working on energy efficiency policies.
Okay, it always blows me away because I'm not sure. I mean, and I say on the air, since it's not a TV show, I'm going to be 59, so I don't think I even put the words energy and efficiency together 25 years ago, and I'm honest about that. So what got you on your journey?
What got me on my journey was I went to college at Goddard University in Vermont.
Oh my goodness. Back in the 70s, and I worked in
social ecology, and social ecology got me interested in improving society and doing it in an environmental way. And I got involved in actually renewable energy and biological agriculture first, but quickly realized that while particularly solar energy was very sexy, the workhorse was going to be energy efficiency, basically making wiser use of the energy that we have already. And it's still true.
It's still true.
All these years later. And so I switched my emphasis and concentrated on the boring workhorse because I wanted to get it done and not just talk about it.
Right. It's not boring. So we have a question, a guest calling in, which I always love. So we have Bill on the line. And what is your question, Bill? Thanks for calling in.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Green, and your guest. Specifically on the exterior color of the homes, do you recommend a light tone, or is that more efficient than the darker colors?
Yes, particularly on the roof. Roof coverings, whether they be coatings or shingles, they should generally be a lighter color because that would reflect the sun's heat in the winter. Our climate is primarily a cooling climate, so you want to reflect that. In terms of other, you know, wall covers, it depends, you know, whether they're in shade or not. For example, the house I live in is an older home. It's a brick home. The brick is obviously dark, but we have big overhangs or trees that shade the home. So it's not as much of an issue on the wall surface, but in terms of the roof coatings, they should be a light color.
I see.
It makes such a difference. And I think that's a great question because that's the homeowner question. And one of my sponsors is Elastec. I'm very open about that. They have a superior coating, and they have incentives in the spring for your roof. And they've been on the show and telling me how much they can reduce your energy costs. So it's unbelievable to me. Bill, thanks for taking that time out of your Saturday to call in. And that was a great question that everybody is interested in. So, okay, so I lit up because my friend lives in Vermont, and she's always talking to me, bragging to me about they are just on the forefront of anything in terms of environmental sustainability. So that's why I'm like, oh my gosh, you got to be kidding. That answers a lot. Okay, on to the subject at hand. One of the things that it says in your material is that, and you just alluded to this, using energy we already have versus drilling oil derricks and mining more mines. So tell us a little bit about how, and give us some examples that are just concrete that we get.
Sure, I'd be glad to. Well, like you said, energy efficiency, it's really the most local and least cost energy. Energy efficiency costs about 2 to 3 cents per kilowatt hour saved. Whereas if you go out and pay your utility bill, you know you're paying closer to 10 cents per kilowatt hour.
Right,
and other
right.
choices of energy are more expensive, new coal or new gas plants. So one of the reasons that we do it is for the economy. It's less expensive for customers. Another reason we do it is because it's better for the environment. Using the energy that we have more wisely, that doesn't create any air pollution and doesn't use any water. And a third reason we do it is because it's more labor-intensive than capital-intensive. Energy efficiency is a lot of insulation and making your homes and businesses tighter, improving your lighting, whereas building new power plants tend to be more capital-intensive. They take billions of dollars.
Several billion dollars.
That
we pay for.
That's correct. And what the utility companies do is they build a plant, they finance it over, say, 30 years, and then they charge you over that time period for the electricity that you use. So those are some of the reasons why we do it, and I can also give you some examples of what we mean by energy efficiency in buildings.
We definitely do. We have a minute till break, and I'd love to come back with that.
Sure.
And I want to encourage people, Bill, thank you for calling in, and in case you don't know the number, I always forget to repeat it over and over, 520-880-5678. That's 520-880-KNST. And we love to hear from our listeners, and that was a great question. So we're going to go to break. Our guest today is Jeff Schlegel from SWEEP, and he's got lots of really good information to share with all of us about Southwest Energy Efficiency, the Energy Efficiency Project. And we're going to talk about some of the examples that you have. I want to talk about what we're doing in Arizona, how our report card looks compared to other states. I got a lot of questions for you. So this is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790, KNST. We'll be right back with Jeff Schlegel and our trivia question.
790KNST.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for staying tuned. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790KNST, where we are learning and having fun on and off air. Jeff Schlegel from the Southwest Energy Efficiency Project, also known as SWEEP, and I think I'm just going to say that from now on, is joining us in studio today to talk about the energy efficiency projects they have going on in eight states. So the segue is, give us some examples of what's going on. Bring it on home here to Tucson and what's happening and what it really means to people. It's in a lot of areas, residential, blah, blah, blah. But can I do the trivia question first?
Sure.
I always forget to do the trivia question. And people like it. And we have a gift certificate to Bookman's if they get the answer right. Buildings are responsible for approximately how much of all U.S. energy consumption? Buildings are responsible for approximately how much of all U.S. energy consumption? If you have an idea, 880-567-852 area code. So go ahead, Jeff.
In terms of let's start with residential. In terms of what people can do, and then we can go back to commercial and businesses, and also talk about policy a little bit. But in terms of what people can do in their own homes, as Denise said earlier from TEP on your call, there's a number of tips on there. Website. But if you think about it logically, you look at what uses electricity or energy in your home, and just about everything that uses electricity can be done more efficiently. So lighting, there's better, more efficient lights out there. You mentioned compact fluorescent lights. Over the next decade, we'll also see LED lighting coming into play, which is
really
even more
soon,
efficient. We will see that in the next 10 years. There are LED products available for residential and commercial applications now, but they're pretty expensive still. So as the technology improves and as the cost goes down, I think we'll see that more. But lighting, then think about one of the biggest energy users in many homes, and that's cooling. Whether you have an air conditioner, a heat pump, or even an evaporative cooler, that's one of the largest energy uses in a home in Tucson. And there are things that you can do to reduce that use, both in terms of the equipment, in terms of the system. If you have ducts that distribute the cool air throughout your house, you can seal those ducts and make sure they're not leaking. They need to be properly insulated. And then in terms of the way you manage the air conditioner, like you were talking about in terms of your thermostat. So that's what you can do for cooling. If you're buying a new appliance, there are many Energy Star products, many Energy Star appliances out there, refrigerators, dishwashers, clothes washers that all save energy, and some save water as well. The Energy Star clothes washers save quite a bit of water, so they're very, very economical. They're more expensive to buy, but they're less costly to operate, and that's cost effective over time. And then finally, if you're buying or building a new home, there are many energy-efficient homes, Energy Star homes. In Tucson here, Tucson Electric, TEP, has the guarantee program. Those homes save 15 to 30% energy compared to a standard home. So
forever.
When you're
Correct. Forever. So you're saving that money every month forever.
That's correct. So if you're looking to buy a new home or buy an existing home, you can look to the energy efficiency of that home. And remember that a small amount on your mortgage each month paid over 15 or 30 years, that the energy savings you're getting each month will more than pay for that. So, for example, a new guarantee home from TEP or a new Energy Star home, it may be $1,000 more or $2,000 more. But when you put that on a 30-year mortgage, from the day you move into that house, the day you buy that house is less expensive to you than a standard efficiency home.
And to me, it's always the connection between that and you're really using less energy, which is the reduction part, so you can feel really good about it and save money. And I think that's huge. One of the things that I think is interesting being involved in Saba is when you have an older home and you're trying to do it, sometimes, I mean, it really does cost money. When I went out to visit this community that Tom Doucette built, Silverbell, the electricity bill, the utility bill, is $1,083 a year on average because they were able to build it so much more energy efficiently. But we still have a lot of buildings and houses and things that we have to look at now.
Yeah, in energy efficient homes, you can get your utility bill under $100 a month easily.
Which I would really like.
But you need to, pay attention to all the different, what we call end uses, all the uses of electricity or natural gas within your home, and reduce all of them, lighting, cooling, heating, appliances, all of those. And the same thing goes for businesses. You asked earlier about businesses. There are the same thing, whether it's a commercial business or an industrial business, you can look at your lighting, your cooling, your heating, your ventilation, your motors and motor drives, and other sort of custom processes that you may have if you're a manufacturer or an industrial plant. There are all opportunities to reduce your energy use from, say, 20 to 50% in all of those areas. And, of course, reducing your energy use reduces your energy cost.
And I have to have this Bob Dame back. He used to work for TEP with Southwest Energy Solutions, and now he has his own company called the Energy Resource Group. When I go to breakfast with him, I'm like writing the whole time. One of the things he told me, which the general public doesn't know this, I'm sure, is he'll go into businesses to do an energy audit, and they might have three coolers that are with water bottles in them and this, that, and then a little water fountain. By just changing some of those out, it can save more than $100 a year. It can save hundreds of dollars a year by just stopping it. And the business think it's kind of passive. It's stay in one temperature. They are big energy vacuums. They agreed?
That's correct, yeah.
There's things like that.
There's many opportunities in commercial buildings, and there's a number of great projects nationwide where corporations have taken a significant interest in energy and energy efficiency, but also in sustainability and their other environmental projects or opportunities, I should say, in terms of environmental compliance. Frito-Lay, UBS, Intel, all the, you know, these businesses
Microsoft.
Have saved 30 to 50% of their energy. And in doing so, they've opened up other opportunities in terms of increasing their productivity and reducing their operating costs. So the products that they offer end up being less expensive than they would otherwise be.
What about for some of those companies that are using the old style CRT monitors in their offices? Will going to flat panels, the cost is way down on those now, and Energy Star compliant products, will that actually help them save money?
Yes, the Energy Star compliant products do, and they do it in two ways. The equipment themselves is more energy efficient, so while it's operating, it's using less energy. And then the Energy Star equipment, whether it's a computer or a monitor, they also have management software that can come with it, and you can set it in terms of how long, if you're not operating the computer or you're not operating
right,
the screen,
right.
When it goes to suspend or sleep mode and it comes back on, instant on, all of those features come with the Energy Star products.
And this is how kind of pathetic I think you can get if you're like me, type A, make every minute count, I'm always in a hurry, blah, 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 blah. Now, if I'm going to be away from my computer for more than 2 hours, I turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get annoyed because it takes so long to boot up when I come home because I just want to sit down and shake the mouse. Does that help?
Absolutely. One of the
good answer.
it's important to turn equipment off. And what we're seeing as homes and businesses become more and more energy efficient, the remaining and there's more electrification in homes. There's not just one TV in homes anymore, but many TVs and phones and cell phone chargers and throughout. But what's important is when you turn off your TV or your DVD at home and it's still plugged into the wall, it's still drawing electricity, a small amount of electricity. People call it vampire loads or standby loads. And one opportunity that you have in a home is to get a power strip that truly turns off. When the off switch goes off, it disconnects from the socket. And then plug your equipment into that and turn everything off just with that one switch into the outlet on the wall. And that will stop those standby losses or those vampire losses. And it's estimated that those can, in some homes, especially in the more efficient home, the larger percentage they are, but those end up being 10 to 20% of the energy use in some homes.
So what about this? This is just if I have this is how little I know about this arena. They're smiling. So I have that upstairs in one of my rooms. I turn the switch off so it everything shuts down, okay? And I see, and I've started doing that. Like my cell phone charger is now plugged into it, so I just shut it off when I'm leaving the room. If I have my cable TV and all of that whole electronic area downstairs plugged into this power strip and turn it off, will it do anything to affect my cable? I mean, is it going to compromise? I'm always afraid to turn that area off because what if I turn it back on and I don't have cable, God forbid?
No, it will come back on. You can do the same exact thing that you're doing, put it into a power strip, turning off, and then it will come back on. It'll have to reinitiate, so it might take a few more seconds to do that.
God forbid, right?
But it will come back. It doesn't have to be on 24 hours a day.
Okay, so
and those cable, whether it's a set-top box, or it's the same kind of thing that we talked about earlier about computers. And actually any piece of equipment. There's the equipment itself, how efficient it is, and there's the operation of that equipment. What do the humans do with that equipment? And the same thing with cable boxes. It's best to turn them off overnight when you're not using that equipment, and it'll save energy all night.
And it's something so easy to do. I never leave my cell phone charger plugged in anymore, never. Unplug toasters, your coffee makers, all of that stuff really does suck energy off the grid. And I have said this before, it's really important to help you save money too. Everybody's talking about that, so let's do it. So Andy wants to know about, what about charging, what changing, what? Just ask it, Andy.
I'll just ask it. I'm just typing it for you. There are devices on the market like a charge pod type device where you can charge more than one cell phone, because cell phone chargers, we have like 7 or 8 outlets all taken up with these chargers because, you know, we have a lot of kids in the house. I don't know who they are. They just walk in.
They introduce themselves.
They have devices where they charge more than one phone off one outlet. Is that actually saving power rather than having spread out throughout the house?
It would save power if you had all the other chargers plugged in, because then you only have the one charger plugged in. But when they're at, let's say you put 3 phones on that charger and they're charging, and you had 3 plugged in separately, that would be the same energy use. It takes the same energy to charge the phone. It's just the standby losses would be a little less. But again, the best thing is to just unplug that one charger, you know, that charger station essentially that you have, or as Gina was saying, as Mrs. Green was saying, to have to put it on a power strip and just turn the power strip off.
Are there devices, Gina, do you know, are there devices where you can actually monitor how much your house is using as far as energy and put it into the computer, run a model on it?
Yeah, essentially they're portable kilowatt hour meters. They're little meters like the meter that the utility company has on your house. And you can get one of these meters, and you can essentially plug your refrigerator into one side of it and then plug the meter into the outlet, and it'll record how much electricity is being used by that appliance. And there are meters like that available.
And why am I not surprised that Jeff knew that? I knew it. That was a great question. Thank you so much. And I think we have to go to break. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790. Wonderful conversation here with Jeff Schlegel from Sweep. And I'm going to ask a couple of controversial questions when we get back about the kind of solar we should be going after. This is News Talk 790, KNST. Please stay tuned. We will be right back. Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST, where we prove that living green and learning green is fun each and every week. I love my guests. Jeff, thank you again for being on. It's Jeff Schlegel from Sweep. So now some really hard questions, and the truth shall set us free. Arizona, how do we stand up? You're working with 8 states. You have the view from 30,000 feet. How are we doing?
Arizona traditionally has been a lagging state. It hasn't been doing that well in terms of the policies to help people, customers, and businesses be more energy efficient. In a recent study by ACEEE, the American Council for an Energy Efficient Economy, it basically ranked in the middle of the pack, around 25, 26.
Which is better
26,
than 49th.
Which is better than 49th or lower in some areas. But Arizona is really improving, particularly in the area of utility support for energy efficiency. Again, you had Denise from TEP on, and you can go to TEP's website and see lots of great programs and many new programs that TEP has for assisting customers, residential customers, and also businesses in terms of increasing their energy efficiency. They have, you know, the lighting programs that you mentioned. They have rebates for energy efficient air conditioners. The commercial business programs are out there that offer rebates and technical assistance as well. So like you did, I'd like to encourage you, your listeners, to go to TEP.com and click on either Bright Solutions or Green Energy, and that'll get you to the areas that describe and summarize their programs.
And is APS, are they doing similar things?
APS is doing similar things. And the programs, both at TEP and APS, and also SRP as well, they've all, and Southwest Gas has programs on the gas side.
Southwest Gas has great programs.
Exactly.
They really do.
They have some energy efficient home programs as well. And these programs have all been growing over the last few years, and they're growing. It's sort of a push and pull strategy at the Corporation Commission, which is the state regulatory body that regulates the electric and gas utilities. They've been setting higher and higher goals and higher standards for the utilities each year and requiring the utilities to do more to offer these services to customers. And likewise, on in terms of the utility emphasis themselves, the utilities have gotten more interested in this as well. They see that this is good customer service. It's a good business offering that they give their customers. It makes their customers happy and more satisfied with the service they get. So utilities have real – people like Denise at TEP have really been working hard to improve these programs and get them out to customers.
And you have people that are – to me, it's like waking up. It's taking the conversation out of the political arena. That's so yesterday. It's not a political conversation anymore. It's about energy efficiency. A friend of mine, Mike Franks from Seaver Franks Architects, he said his clients, his high-end clients that can build a $3 million home are having longer conversations with him about how can we have an energy-efficient home? How can we incorporate rainwater harvesting? Every single socioeconomic group, political group, it's gone. It's about let's keep our eye on the energy-efficient ball. So Arizona is not so good, but getting better.
We're getting a lot better. And one of the In December, there was a major decision that the Arizona Corporation Commission made to create an energy efficiency standard. Many of your listeners are probably familiar with renewable portfolio standards. They require utilities to provide a certain amount of the energy that they generate and provide to customers from renewable power. Well, an energy efficiency standard is more or less the same thing, and the commission required that Arizona utilities provide 20% of the energy that customers use, the equivalent energy that customers use from energy efficiency in 2020. So 20% energy savings by 2020. That means that when we're in 2020, one-fifth of all – the equivalent of one-fifth of all the energy that you use in your home or your business is going to essentially come from energy efficiency. In other words, be saved by energy efficiency.
Huge shift.
So it's a
huge shift.
That's a big difference.
Yeah, in a short amount of time. And I don't want the show to be over until I talk about this with you. And it was so interesting yesterday. I went to this meeting that Rodney Glassman called standing room only. I mean, it was, you name it, they were represented. Not just government, lots of big businesses. Solon was there, TEP, Trio, big manufacturers of solar. And one of the bombs that got dropped at the end, which is part of why I love being Mrs. Green, because then you're on the show today, is a man who said that the utility companies are going to have to get on board with more interest in and support of photovoltaics for solar versus solar thermal. And then the meeting was over. And we'd had to be adjourned. I thought, hello, we want to ask more questions. So I know, being an energy efficient expert, what's your read on that? I mean, it's a very different way, solar thermal producing steam versus photovoltaics building solar panels and installation.
Yeah, well, let me first talk about the two differences. The solar thermal plants that the speaker was talking about, those are central plants, big plants that use a lot of mirrors to focus the sun's energy, solar energy, on water, boil the water, make steam, and the steam is run through a generator.
Right.
So it's essentially a different way to do a big power plant, relying on solar energy, very clean and green, but still a central plant. And photovoltaics tend to be more distributed sources of energy. They're on people's businesses, on their homes. And so that's one of the differences. The utilities tend to, particularly utility finance people, tend to like the solar thermal model because it's more similar to what they did in the past.
Right, it's
they
the
built
old
plants,
paradigm.
They finance those plants, and they sell the power to customers. And it fits in there, and it fits in the utility business model. I think utilities are going to have to look at both energy efficiency and photovoltaics and other distributed sources and figure out their business model there as well, because customers are also very interested in photovoltaics, whether it's on their home or their business. And as you know, as Denise said also at the beginning of the show, TEP has rebates and assistance for customers that want to do photovoltaics as well.
And it seemed to me that was the truth too. But I'm like sitting there saying, okay, now the meeting's adjourned. How do people get in touch with you? I always say they can get in touch with you by getting in touch with me, info@MrsGreenGoesMainstream. But if they want the direct connection, how do they get in hold of you?
Sure. Well, our website, SWEEP has a website, swenergy.org. And all the SWEEP information and contact information is on there.
And say that again. It's not SWEEP. It's SW Energy.
Right. SW Energy.
Dot org.
Dot org. www.swenergy.org, and that'll get you to the SWEEP website, and our contact information is on there for any of the states and all the projects that we're doing.
And it's an interesting website. I mean, Mrs. Green loved it. Thank you for taking time out of your Saturday to come in. If you have questions, please let us know. I want to give a shout-out to the Green Times, the Arizona Green Times, it's called now. They do quality reporting. They're a great partner of mine, and I don't always remember to say that. Everybody be safe out there. Thank the Lord you live in Tucson, Arizona, and that you're not up in Flagstaff. And thanks, Bob Oldfather, for wanting to make Tucson the solar city. I'm going to be talking about that a lot. This is News Talk 790 KNST. Have a great weekend, and come out to our live remote next week on Silver Bell. Great, great, great weekend. Thanks for your help, Andy.